I want you to turn, first of all, we'll find Ezekiel, if you will, chapter 20, and probably Acts chapter 20. And I'll look at a couple places even before we get there along the way. I want to, a young man in the church had asked me some questions about the Sabbath day not too long ago. And I remember that I had prepared a sermon a couple of years ago for a podcast. I was actually invited to participate in a podcast concerning Sabbath Day Adventist. And I had put all of this together and I had never used any of it at all. And so I want to look at the Bible this afternoon and see from the Bible what the Sabbath is, why we don't worship on the Sabbath, all kinds of things. It'll basically be information, but it'll be good information, helpful information as well, I suppose. And so we'll look at that in just a moment. Let's pray together, and then I'll just take off. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for folks who have made their way out to be with us in the service. Thank you, Lord, for people who are excited about the Lord and the things of the Lord and willing to be active and busy for the Lord. We thank you for that. And we thank you for folks who are faithful, regardless of the weather conditions or situations. And I sure am glad to be able to be here tonight. Thank you for the good fellowship, the good singing, and the opportunity to stand now. I sure do ask that you help us and use us, Lord, to be a blessing and a help. And we'll thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about whether or not believers ought to gather on Sunday, the Lord's Day, or on Saturday, on what is referred to or known as the Sabbath day. And I'll mention this again in just a moment, but today is the day the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad there, and we can worship on any day. Amen. However, I don't know if you know this or not, and I didn't know this till some time ago when I began to study the Sabbath day Adventists, what they actually believe. And this statement I'm about to make is so astonishing that I even looked it up again to make sure I was correct. But it is the truth. I don't know if you know this or not, but Seventh-day Adventists teach that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship. And if you gather together on Sunday in a church service, you have taken the mark of the beast. Now, I looked at several of their websites today to see if they still believe that. And from the ones that I read, they still consider that to be false religion, false worship, and that's what they consider or believe to be the mark of the beast. So, what a mess that is, amen. Now, most people don't have any idea what the Seventh-day Adventist believes. They think they just build hospitals and tell you not to eat fatty foods and watch your cholesterol. But my doctor also tells me that as well. And I don't listen to him either, apparently. So, look at Colossians chapter 2, and we'll get to Ezekiel in just a moment and Acts chapter 20. But look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. And by the way, Sunday, Lord willing, we will start a study in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." So the basis of my judgment is not my keeping one day above another, not keeping one law as opposed to the other. The basis of my judgment will be the word of the Lord, amen. And obviously that is combined with my relationship to Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And I'll say as the psalmist, and something that I quoted just briefly just a moment ago, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad therein." Now, before we get to that Ezekiel and Acts passage, come back with us to Romans chapter 14 for just a moment. Romans chapter 14. I've not had a lot of in-depth conversations with a lot of different religions. I have, obviously, with Jehovah Witness and Mormons. And I actually struck up quite a relationship with a Seventh-day Adventist when we were involved in doing ministry work in Hillsville during the three-door ministry, and befriended this man. I don't know that he ever left the Seventh-day Adventist, but he did admit to me on more than one occasion that I had some valid points, whatever that means. I mean, I ain't got no points at all. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So Romans chapter 14, look what the Bible says in verse number 5. Romans chapter 14, verse number 5. One man esteemeth, that means judgeth in this context. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So I am fully persuaded that there's not one day that is more God's day than any other day. I believe He made them all. Amen. And I believe that persuasion is scriptural. I believe that persuasion is scriptural, biblical, amen. And I believe we can see that from the Scripture. Now look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look at verse number 7. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week. The first day of the week. When the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now it's very clear here from this passage in Acts chapter 20 that this church met on the first day of the week. And you say, well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that they met daily from house to house and they broke bread together. They did. That's very true. What I want you to see and understand here from Acts chapter 20 is if a meeting and assembling on the first day of the week is the wrong day to meet, or more importantly, if it is receiving the mark of the beast, then Paul and the early church, they had a problem, didn't they? Yeah, I think we'll just believe the Bible. Now, come to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And verse number 18. Ezekiel 20, verse number 18. The Bible says this, "But I say unto their children, but I say unto their children." Now, we'll see in the Bible who these children are here in just a minute. If we read the context, we know that this children is Israel, the children of Israel that is coming out of the Egypt, wandering in the wilderness. "But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am the Lord your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths." That Sabbath is plural. I want you to notice that. The word hallow means to make holy. It means to consecrate, to set apart for religious use. And so he said, "And hallow my Sabbaths," or make them holy. "And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." And so we see here in verse number 20 of this passage of Scripture that the Sabbath days are a sign, and they are a sign of a covenant between God and the nation, a nation of people that He led out of Egypt through the wilderness into the Promised Land. And we know who those people are, amen. They're certainly not the New Testament church. They are certainly not any nation or race of Gentiles. They were the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And chapter 20, and verse number 20 says that the Sabbath is a sign. Now, come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is Wednesday night. It's Bible study. We're going to do just that. We're going to look at a lot of places. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1. Now, we just mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse number 20 that the Sabbath was for a sign. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, the reason that I use this passage of Scripture is to show you that we do not get our power from observing a certain day or keeping a certain law or following a certain regulation or a certain set of rules. We get our power. Our power with God is from our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. The Sabbath is unknown until it was given as a sign, where we just read in Ezekiel chapter 20, that sign was given to the Jews. Now, and we see that, we saw it, we just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, it was given on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20 as one of the Ten Commandments. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 20, God gave Moses a set of rules and regulations that would gather, that would govern one nation, the nation of Israel. And would have to do with that one nation's relationship to God. And no Gentile was ever commanded to observe those rules. We never were commanded. We still aren't commanded to observe those rules. Those regulations and those laws that included the Sabbath day. So if you're not the flesh and blood descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God didn't one time from Genesis to Revelation tell you to observe the Sabbath day as a sign of your covenant relationship with God. It has nothing to do with you. Now, they divide these commandments. Let me say this. There's no distinction can be made between the moral laws, which are the Ten Commandments, and the ceremonial laws, which are laws that God had given the nation of Israel. In God's sight, the Levitical Sabbath was written on the stone with the Ten Commandments. And so what the Sabbath day Adventists want to do is say God gave a moral law and He gave a ceremonial law. And Christ died to do away with the ceremonial law, but He didn't do away with the moral law. That's nonsense. And whether He did or He didn't, it wouldn't matter anyway, because that law was only given to one group of people. Now, let's look at some things that are required in observance of the Sabbath day. First of all, concerning the law, the Bible says in James chapter 2, if you offend in one point, you are guilty of all. And so the Sabbath laws said very clearly and plainly that you were to light no fires from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. So in order for you to observe the Sabbath day, you'd have to freeze to death and go hungry in the wintertime because you couldn't cook with fire or gas, amen. You couldn't burn a heater or burn a fire in your fireplace on the Sabbath day, and Misty wouldn't have lasted a week and a half. She's already froze. Number two, the Bible also says in order to observe the Sabbath that you could not travel outside your dwelling or go on any journey of any distance whatsoever. And for a group of people to say that we came and left our homes and came and assembled today on the Sabbath day to keep God's Sabbath, you broke it when you left your house. And so we have to be careful that we don't listen to what people say, but we listen to what the Bible teaches. Amen. Now, number three, the Bible also says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 14, it says this, I love this verse, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now, I don't know how in the world anything could be any clearer than that at all. And so you get these people who take three or four or five Bible verses or passages out of context, teach an entire doctrine that's contrary to the Bible, get an entire movement going of people following them. I'll tell you where that's founded at and where that comes from, and it's not God. Amen. And so the Bible, what a simple verse to clarify all of that quickly. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion on you, for you are not under the law. It couldn't be clearer. It couldn't be plainer. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Praise God for that great truth. Now, I said I wanted to look at tonight what is the Sabbath. So let's do just that. Come to Leviticus chapter 23. I don't think it is even what you think it is or what they think it is, obviously. Leviticus chapter 23, we'll begin reading in verse 39. I'll tell you what it is. It's so sophisticated that it's confusing. There are eight different time periods. Now, I want to say that again right at the outset, and we'll look at them if we have time. There are eight different time periods which God designates as the Sabbath. And so it's just not every Saturday. I'll tell you that right off the bat. Leviticus 23, verse 39, God says, also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day on the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Well, we already got trouble. Now, notice that God did not say the seventh day was the Sabbath in verse 23. In Leviticus chapter 23, he said the first day, and he didn't say the first day was the Sabbath. He said the first day was a Sabbath. That's important, amen. And then he said that the eighth day shall be a Sabbath, indicating that there's more than one Sabbath. And we know that's true. Come to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Now, if you're not interested in Bible study, you're bored tonight. But I like learning things. Amen. And there'll be needful things. You may have some friends who are Seventh-day Adventists. Don't go start a fight with them. Just try to lead them to Christ. Amen. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 8, the Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." There's that word again. And so now God said in Leviticus chapter 23 that we just read, the first day was a Sabbath. And here in Exodus 20, the seventh day is the Sabbath. And then in Leviticus 23 again, he said again, the eighth day is a Sabbath. Now, I'll just say one more thing. If a man observes one day in seven, see, there's something else. Look at this. Look back in Exodus 20. Look at verse number 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now, don't miss number 9, verse number 9. 6 days thou shalt work, shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. So, if you don't work but 5 days, it ain't going to do you no good to keep the seventh day anyway. Because the command is more than just keeping the Sabbath day. It is, you in 6 days thou shalt work and do all thy labor, and then rest the Sabbath day. So if you're only going to work 4 days or 5 days, then you've got no right observing the Sabbath day anyway. You already had 2 or 3 days rest. I think these people are Americans, man. Looking for snap. Oh, just kidding. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. So the commandment. All right, come to Exodus chapter 16. I gotta move along here before I get in trouble. I've been out of town. It got mean. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. Exodus chapter 16. Look at verse 23. "And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said." Still, your pages turning. Give you just a minute. Exodus 16, verse 23. "And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that which you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." Verse 25. "And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, it is in it there shall be none." So now in the context here in Exodus chapter 16, we know that this is the manna falling from heaven. God's given them this angel food in 6 days. He provides that. They pick it up. And I don't read all the passage, but they don't take more than they need. They don't have any left over except for on the day prior to the Sabbath day. They would gather enough for the Sabbath day as well. And so the Sabbath was one day in duration. All right, remember that, one day. Now look at Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. In Exodus chapter 20, that Sabbath was one day in duration. Now look at Leviticus chapter 23, verse number 6. And on the 15th day in the sixth month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Now, skip down to verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the seventh, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall ye complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves and 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. Now, I just want to say this. Aren't you glad that all you got to do is put your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, it's hard enough to read this stuff, much less to keep it all straight, amen. We're reading down there trying to figure out, okay, we got 7 Sabbaths, and the day after the 7th Sabbath, you got to do... I mean, you're talking about confusing, man. What a blessing. I praise the Lord for grace. I'm thankful that we're under grace, not the law, amen. Now, look at verse 17. Verse 17, you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord, and ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock with 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice on peace offering, so on and so on. Now, what he said here is this. He said this thing is going to run 50 days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 days Sabbath, 7 Sabbaths. Then the 50th day, that's going to be part of the 7th Sabbath. That Sabbath wasn't a 1 24-hour period. That was a 2-day 48-hour period after those 7 Sabbaths, the 50th. You see, you got all that when you read that, right? So the Sabbath is not exclusively a 1 24-hour day period. In Leviticus chapter 23, it can be a 2-day 48-hour period. Now look at Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus 25. Look at verse number 3. Leviticus 25, verse number 3. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year, shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. So we have a 24-hour day that's a Sabbath. We have a 48 hours as a Sabbath. And now we have an entire year that's a Sabbath. Now, the next time somebody tells you that you have to keep the Sabbath and he tells you that he keeps the Sabbath, ask him if every 7th year he takes off work and doesn't do anything. Good question, amen. Now, you see, what we have in our world today is we have this Laodicean church age that we live in. Unfortunately, there are very few people who take the time to read or study the Bible. And so somebody gets up and they mention 2 or 3 verses out of the Bible and they make 2 or 3 comments about what they read out of context. And they get a whole group of people to follow them, and nobody actually takes time to read and study the Bible to find out that what they're teaching is completely unrelated to what the Bible says. And so God's Sabbath can be 1 day, it can be 2 days, or it can be an entire year, according to the Bible. Now, come to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Now, if you're going to tell a man that salvation is by grace through faith, you better know what the Bible says about salvation being by grace through faith. Amen. That's simple enough. That's what the Bible teaches, and you ought to be able to tell somebody how to be saved, show them from the Bible that salvation is by grace through faith. So if a man's going to tell me that I have to keep the Sabbath day, have to be a Sabbath keeper in order to be saved, man, if that's what you have to do to get to heaven, I want to know what's required with keeping the Sabbath. And so when you start looking at all these things, the Bible actually says and teaches about the Sabbath day, we're in a heap of mess, amen. Now look at 2 Chronicles, look at chapter 36, look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she," that's speaking of the land, "for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now, you know what the people in this pasture are doing? They put an emphasis on money and making a living. And by doing so, they left their stores open on the Sabbath day, and they conducted their business on the Sabbath day, and they didn't give their land rest on the Sabbath year. And so they cared more about their wealth and their riches and their money than they did obeying the law and keeping the Sabbath. And so God sacked the whole bunch when he said, by the way, I've been keeping records, and you owe me 70 years of Sabbaths. So you know what he did? He took the whole nation into captivity so that the land could rest and get those 70 years of Sabbath that they were owed. And so the entire nation was a slave in a foreign country until these 70 years went by with no grounds tilled and no seed sown and no crops harvested. Now come to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, the context is the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. And in verse 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if ye shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For as Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" I like this, verse number 9. "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." There remaineth a rest. Verse number 10 says, "For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works." Praise the Lord. "As God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, the rest mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 4, are you ready? You know what that is? It's eternity. It's an eternal rest from labor and work and toil with God Almighty. So for a man to say the Sabbath is a 24-hour period, he's not being scriptural, or at least he's not being fully scriptural. It could be one day, it could be 2 days, it could be a year, it could be 70 years, or it could be all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what Sabbath day are you talking about, sir? Now, listen, let me just give you this. I don't know how we could possibly turn to all the passages of Scripture, but just listen carefully and listen to some of these things. The Sabbath day, the seventh day Sabbath, was changeable, being observed on 2 different days each year because of an additional one at Pentecost, so it had to change. So it would be until Pentecost, for example, if the 15th day of a certain month was the Sabbath day Saturday, it would be so for 7 weeks, 49 days. The 15th of Abib was that certain feast day, and then they had a Sabbath day, and every Sabbath day, seventh day for 7 weeks, 49 days, And then the 15th day, that was the 50th day, was the day of Pentecost. And that kicked off a whole new cycle of Sabbaths that run for 1 year. So let's suppose that this year we're going to observe Saturday as the Sabbath, and we're going to keep God's Sabbaths. All right, now we've got Saturday, 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 right up, then Saturday, and then lo and behold, Sunday is the day of Pentecost. Now, you know where that 7 days from the day of Pentecost is going to be? It's going to be Sunday, 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 until I come all the way around, and then I'm going to have Sunday, and then I'm going to hit another day of Pentecost, which is going to be Monday. Now, what I'm saying is, if a man is a true Seventh-day Adventist, he can't meet on Saturday year after year after year after year, because that day changes every year. It's not a fixed day from year to year to time of memorial. That is going on according to God's law of the Sabbaths. Now, another thing is this. The Sabbath was to be a day for delighting and rest. It was not to be a burden. The Sabbath was for Israelites and proselytes to Israel only. We've already discussed that. They were to be observed as holy days unto the Lord. We've already talked about that. A careful reading of the law would show that Sabbaths were from the Lord, and they were commanded to be a time of rest from all work. So listen, God didn't write the Bible so you could prove it and win arguments with it. God wrote the Bible to show us how to live a blessed and happy life. And for those of you and I who live in this New Testament economy in a day of grace, we can live a blessed and happy life if we'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and then strive to the best of our ability to live according to what the Bible teaches and do those things which the Lord would have us to do according to Scripture, not according to what man has to say. Amen. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, in Mark chapter 2, and in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this, "It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day." And so it is not a sin to work on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good works. Jesus said that, and as I mentioned already, in Matthew 12, Mark 2, and Luke 6, that the Sabbaths were made for man, and that a man is not to be in bondage on the Sabbath day. So let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 12. We got a few more minutes here. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. If I remember correctly, when I got all this together and did all this for a podcast, I think I got to speak for about 3 minutes. So that's why I threw this thing in the filing cabinet and was aggravated. No, just kidding. Look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 1. At that time, I have been invited to speak on several podcasts, and I have. And I'm not saying I won't ever do that again, but I don't like debating. And you get on there with people that's supposed to be like-minded believers and they don't believe the Bible. And so you wind up debating publicly with those people, and I don't mind being right. And I didn't mean that in any way at all like it sounded. The Bible is right. And when they say something, you take the Bible and say, well, the Bible says this. And Dr. So-and-so says, well, you know, in theology school and Baptist tradition. And I said, but the Bible says this. So I've been podcast free for a couple of years. I don't know. Nobody's asked me back to a podcast, and I'm not starting one. So, Matthew 12, look at verse number 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read?" See, when Jesus always answers the same way. It's written. Have you not read? Jesus doesn't argue with opinions. He points right back to the Scripture. What does the Bible say? Have you not read what David did when he was in hungered and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had an hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Well, that's a good question, ain't it? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Now, so the Old Testament law said don't do any work on the Sabbath. But it also said you had to circumcise children on the eighth day. And if the eighth day come around on the Sabbath day, they circumcise their children. And if your sheep fell in a ditch on the Sabbath day, you didn't wait until the next day to get it out. You got it out on the Sabbath day. And so what Jesus Christ is saying, he is saying that the Sabbath day was not given to you to make an argument and debate and a nitpick and to criticize and condemn. It was made so you'd have a day of rest and restore your strength and worship God. That's what it was for. And nobody that takes it beyond that, they are not following. Anybody who takes it beyond that, they're not following God's will. And they're not following the Bible according to Jesus Christ. I will say this, and we could go back to Colossians, but we'll just stop. Sabbaths will be observed in the millennium by the nation of Israel, and on the new earth by the nation of Israel. They're a type of our eternal rest. Now, I do want to look at one more thing. Come back to Colossians chapter 2. I hesitate to go here because I'm going to start preaching through the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll end here. I mean to promise. I plan to. Look at verse number 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, I've made this analogy before. I'll say it again. When we think about spoil, we think about spoiling our children. But that's not what the word spoil means, amen. To spoil means to take, in this context, it means to take everything that someone's got. When we think about spoil, we think about meat spoiling, you don't want nothing to do with it, amen. Now, so in this context, beware lest any man spoil you. We're talking about taking something that someone else has. And we are to be busy laying up treasures in heaven. I hope you're laying up treasures in heaven. We're laying up rewards for the judgment seat of Christ. And so be careful about laying up trophies and crowns and all these things that we'll be privileged to throw at the Savior's feet for what He's done for us. And so the Bible says here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. So the Lord said they're going to spoil you with that philosophy. Beware of philosophy. Now, philosophy is the love of wisdom. And the warning in this verse is to beware of man's doctrine, man's theory, or man's views. And so our goal as New Testament Bible-believing Christians is to know, believe, and follow the Bible, the Word of God, not any man-made doctrine. And so it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men. Now, if you find someone, they say, well, our church stands on the Bible plus traditions of our fathers. Well, you need to find another church. Because God wrote the Bible, and God told His ministers, and He told us to take heed, to take warning, if there's somebody who's trying to spoil us. They're trying to take our crowns, our rewards, by getting us to follow after some kind of false religion or false doctrine. Now listen, I know that I'm not saying necessarily about the Seventh-day Adventists now, but I know people that I truly believe with all my heart, they got saved They were born again, just like I'm born again, but then they were, because of their lack of personal Bible study maybe, or because of their emotions, they have followed after these charismatic movements and all kinds of stuff. I have lots of people in my family, I believe, that are saved. We can't have much fellowship together other than that because of their Pentecostal charismaticism and all that they went into after they got saved. And so the Bible is talking about here that you'd be spoiled through philosophy and vain deceit and after traditions of men. And so listen, we're living in a time when people seem to care more about their religion and their denomination than they do the Bible. And so God help us to just follow the Bible. Now, let me finish reading this, and I'm going to be done, all right? I say that. But beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, not after Christ. For in Him, that's in Christ, amen, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now pay close attention to this next verse. I'm not going to finish it. I'm just going to read the first of it. And ye are complete in Him. So we are complete in Jesus Christ. So we're not complete in Him plus Sabbath keeping. We're not complete in Him plus baptism. We're not complete in Him plus good works. We're not complete in Him plus keeping the law. We're complete in Him, amen. What a blessing that is. If you're in Christ Jesus, your salvation is complete, and you are complete in Christ. What a blessing. I praise the Lord for the Bible. Nothing like the Bible to refute false religion, amen. Father, thank you for the Bible, for an opportunity, Lord, to look at some things in Scripture tonight. Thank you that you made salvation so simple. Lord, if keeping the Sabbath was a requirement for salvation, I'd be as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Wouldn't have any which way to idea what to do next or where to go or to keep up with where we were. Man, what a blessing to know that I'm a sinner. Christ Jesus died for my sin. I place my faith and my trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by grace through faith, I have been redeemed. I am saved. I'm no longer under condemnation. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am a son of God by faith. I am complete in Christ. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your goodness to us and your blessings upon us. We love you and thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you so much for coming and being with us on a